So today is our celebrate service. And if you're a visitor today, just explain to you that you've just walked into an annual business meeting. So just so you know, but relax. If you haven't breathed already today, just take a breath. You see, we used to do our business meetings down in a classroom during coffee time, and maybe six people would come. And people would say, oh, I don't come because we trust you. And it's, well, it wasn't a point of trust. It's about us together. And then a friend who was a pastor, back in the States now, but he was the pastor at Crossroads in Amsterdam, in Den Haag. He said, oh, yeah, we had that problem. So we just solved it. I said, well, what do you do? Because we just made it part of the service. I went, duh. Great idea. So that's what we've been doing for the past couple of years. So between now and coffee time, we're going to try and go through various things. If you're part of the church and on the database email, you would have had the reports. And basically, we had no questions. So we're going to give no answers. So that's pretty cool. Though I've threatened Inga that I'm going to come up with some awkward treasurer questions, you know. So, but I'm not going to do that. So just to let you know what we're going to do. In a moment, Helen is... Actually, I need to do the announcements. I forgot about those. I'll do those in a moment. Helen's going to come up, and we've got four different people from the church, four different nationalities, are just going to say a little bit about their life here in the church and the difference it's made in their lives. Just thought it's good to... you know, it's about us with Christ, you know, not just about doing business stuff. It's a celebrate Sunday. Then Joost is going to come and briefly share a few slides, I think, about the survey that we took recently of us as a membership, and just to show you a few fancy graphs, I think it is. Then I'm going to do the pastor's report bit, and we're going to look a bit in Genesis 12 together, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you as well from Scripture, because I think it's important we're encouraged from the Word of God. Inga's going to give financial report, and then we're going to ask you as a congregation to pray over us, pray over the church council, pray over us as a leadership team as we go into this next year together. So that's what we're going to do. Right, our announcements. Yes, if you're new today and you'd like to know more information, there are some leaflets on the blue covered table at the top of the stairs. Feel free to fill one of those in and we'll gladly add you to our database. Next weekend, we have Dr. John Andrews with us from the UK. John has a lot of experience as a leader and is also a gifted Bible teacher. And he'll be here Friday evening speaking to leaders within ICL, and Saturday morning is open to anybody. And it's about growing in Christ, growing in purpose in our lives. And if you've not responded yet and you'd still like to come, there is space for you to come. And on Sunday morning, he will be here speaking in the service. Don't leave it till Sunday to go, oh, he was a good speaker. Oh, I could have gone. Okay, I would encourage you to think about coming to hear him on Saturday morning, not leave it till Sunday morning, because then Saturday's already happened, unless you have a time machine, do a Back to the Future job or something. So, Helen.
Is that okay? Yes, that's good. Right, okay. So what we're going to do, I'm going to interview four people. You may know them really well. You may never have met them before if you knew. But I thought it's a lovely opportunity to hear a little bit about people within our congregation. If you don't know who I am, my name's Helen. I'm part of the leadership team. I'm also married to Andy. We came to Leiden in 2006, very naively. God called us, so we came. There was very little money. We had nowhere to live. We didn't speak Dutch. We couldn't afford international education. So guess what? We put our kids in een basisschool, and we all learned how to manage boekbespreking and spreekbeurts. And I went to the parents' ouders-avonds with my dictionary, and they smiled at me, and I thought, well, it's obviously going okay, but hey-ho. So, yeah, and nearly 12 years on, we're still here. And you know what? It really struck me today how much this church is in my heart and how great it is you're all here. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Whether you've been here a week or 10 years, doesn't matter. It's really good. It's good to be on a journey with you. Micah, where are you? Could you come and join me? Okay. Are you one of these people that hates public speaking and it's like worse than death? Yeah. Thank you for standing there.
And I also have to do a sermon for my studies, so that will be very...
Okay, so this is a good opportunity to practice. Just take a moment, look at everybody. They're lovely, really. Yeah. So, Micah, we know your name. Tell us, who are you? A bit about yourself.
I'm Micah Glasberger. From my name, you can guess I'm Dutch. I grew up in the east of the Netherlands in a Christian family. And I'm married to Jan, who is sitting over there. Woo-hoo. And we have three lovely daughters, 10, 8, and 3.5.
And you're also studying, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
What are you studying?
It's all about pastoral care.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Very useful in a church.
Yeah.
Excellent. How did you end up being in ICL?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. When Jan and I got married, we lived in Amsterdam, and we are both from a Reformed background, church background. And we went to Nepal for work, and we were there from 2005 till 2008. And we lived in the southeast of Nepal, and that was a city, and there were some churches. And how do you choose a church if you don't know what they're saying anyway? But we went there, and then it was a great time. But whenever we had to go back to the capital city, we would join an international church, because it was nice to have to be able to follow a sermon. And so after that time, when we got back in the Netherlands, we already knew that the church denomination we came from, where we really learned to love God, that actually God called us to make up our own mind. And both, we feel very much that our parents would find it very difficult if we would leave that church. But we really felt called to go away. But where do you go? And so we left the church. And we felt very... but I have to say one thing. When we came back to the Netherlands, and we visited an international church in Leiden, because we lived in Oegstgeest, or actually in Katwijk. But and we sometimes visited here just to be able to have that international feel again. But then we stayed in that other church for a year. And so when we left that church, we felt very uprooted. Where do you go? And because we easily say that our identity is in Jesus Christ. But often it's also very much the group where you're part of. And so I remember sending Andy an email that I said, we feel so, uprooted, no roots anymore. And so then you start looking for churches, and you find that actually there are rules. And that's why we ended up in ICL, because there were rules, but not about a denomination, or it was people with many backgrounds, very different backgrounds, Reformed, Pentecostal, Baptist, and Evangelica, and Catholic, and you name it. It's many people from different backgrounds. And so we ended up here.
Right. Yeah. And what do you feel it's added to your lives by being here?
Two things. Because we're from so many backgrounds, you don't focus on... you focus on what binds you. That's Jesus Christ. And that's very much you're going to the center of faith.
Yeah.
And the other thing is what really... has helped me in ICL, although I also find it difficult sometimes, but it really helps me also, is that because you are from so many different backgrounds, people have different opinions. And sometimes someone has a bit of an opinion that's a bit out of your comfort zone. But we are very much from, we were told you have to think this way, this way, this way, this way. And I think that's in many denominations, that's whether you are from a Pentecostal background or from a Reformed or from a Catholic, that's a bit. And here I learned that it's okay to have different opinions as long as you stay in Jesus. And it has helped me to be more relaxed in thinking things through. Okay, I think this, but why do I think this? And how come someone else thinks that? And where does he come from? And yeah, that's really helps me.
Thanks, Micah. That's great. Thank you. Let's give her a clap. Can you leave me your mic? Thank you. Corrie, would you come and join me? Okay, so next interviewee. Corrie, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Hi, I'm Corrie Williams. Been here for about 3 years, I think just over 3 years. My wife, Tricia, unfortunately, she's sick today, so she's at home. And then we have a lovely daughter, Olivia, who's about 2.5 years old right now. And I teach at the university. I'm an assistant professor of anthropology and global Christianity. And I teach in religious studies, African studies, and in international studies. And so that takes up a lot of my time, I suppose. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Yeah. Tell us, how did you end up in ICL?
Yeah, I mean, I think we moved here, it was in January of 2015. And we were, Tricia, my wife, was pregnant at that point, and we were looking for community. And, I mean, part of this had to do with language. We're English speakers, we're from the U.S., and we really wanted to find a community, a good group of friends and believers to connect to. And we found that in ICL. And I think a lot of it had to do with this issue of many of us who've been abroad, who've been in diaspora kind of situations of belonging, of feeling connected. And that I think what was just said about, kind of uprootedness. And I think it's helpful to be around other people who also have those similar feelings. And so we found, I think, a home here.
Okay, great. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add about what it might have added to your life by being in this community?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot this last week. Andy had sent me a question. In particular, he asked about this last year. So I could go on and on about the different things. But I thought about one thing in particular, especially this last year, was that I find that ICL... It really has helped kind of recalibrate me personally this last year. And so much of, I have a very crazy job. It's very busy. It's very intense. And I found that the church is a way to kind of bring me back grounded, I guess, in some sense. And so much of my life is spent kind of dissecting things, social types of things and examining people, and you can kind of lose sight of what are you doing here. So kind of the existential questions of why am I here and who am I, where do I belong, and these kind of things, where are we going, these kinds of big questions. And I think that ICL really helps me do so. And I think to pick up on another point that was just said, it does so in a way that it presents a diversity of perspectives, which I also I need that, I think, actually. It's something for me personally that I really appreciate. I also grew up in a denomination that was, this is the way. But I find it so fulfilling and meaningful to be around other people who have a diversity of perspectives on an issue. I also think, just to add one more thing, that ICL is a place that, we come together. I mean, some of us are different kind of parts of the scale of belief and where we're at in our journeys. And I think often, I believe, but it reminds me of, I think it comes from the Gospels, I think it's in the book of Mark, this passage that says, I believe, but help my unbelief, And so I think church in general is this kind of place where, again, it's this recalibration of bringing you back. And so those are some of the things. I think that it's been so helpful being a part of this community.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Corrie. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Great, thank you. Okay, Leah, it's your moment. You've only got 15 seconds, exactly. I don't know how far the fame's going to go, but hey-ho, we'll try. Leah, tell us a bit about who you are.
My name's Leah, as you've just said. I came to the Netherlands in September 2015 to start my PhD in archaeology here, and... and I looked in the brochure for Leiden University and churches, and this was the only one, but it's also the best one.
Awesome, that's good. It's good to be best out of no competition.
Likely,
isn't
no
it?
Competition.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah.
No, I was thinking about trying others because that's actually a kind of a theme in my life. I've been through over 17 churches in my life.
Wow, wow.
Okay. We used to move house an awful lot when I was younger, so...
So you're a church junkie.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of a pinball machine, just kind of going to different churches. And they were all of, like, different denominations. So, yeah, it's been a lot of experience. But every time you kind of go to a new church, you feel like, who am I in this church? And how do I, you know, the thread between a lot of these testimonies is, you know, the sense of belonging and feeling like you have a family. And every time I went to a church, I would always feel a bit kind of anxious about, you know, how people would accept me and, you know, how easy is it going to be to find a family here? Yeah. And it kind of always felt like I had to put on a particular front, as it were.
Yeah.
And this is like the first time I've not had to do that.
Wow.
So it feels really
great.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
So the real bit also works quite well.
Yes,
then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going
that's
through
great.
Them one by one.
You are, yeah.
Okay. Simple. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, just fit those two words in the next 2 seconds. And tell us about what it's added. Anything more about what you feel it's added to you being
Ooh.
Here?
Well, I guess it's kind of been an anchor, generally. I mean, even if I haven't come every Sunday, I've always felt like there's a church there, there's fellowship there, there's God's people there, and I'm well looked after. And so, you know, I've been through a lot of ups and downs since being in the Netherlands, but it's always, I've always known I can come back here. And going back to the real thing, the best thing about this church was that some days I'll come in with a giant smile on my face, and some days I'll come in looking like I've just been hit by lightning, and some days I'll come in like bawling my eyes out in tears, and that's okay, and I don't feel embarrassed about that whatsoever, because everyone just embraces you and just feels like that's just being human, and that feels so good.
That's really good, Leah. Yeah. Thank you. And you do know why the Lord's brought you here to do a PhD, don't you? How long does a PhD normally last?
4 years.
You might be able to stretch it, because he wants you to stay in one church for as long as possible. So make it 8 years.
No problem
taking
my time.
Postdoc, just keep going. Just perpetual student.
Exactly.
Thanks, Leah, very much.
No
Thank
problem.
You. That's great. And the last one we're going to be interviewing is Jay. And Jay, sadly, is not going to be with us for that much longer. So it's great to get him at the front. Yay, Jay. Woohoo.
Hello.
He's got his fan base already. Okay, Jay, tell us a bit about who you are, if we don't already
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I'm from South Korea, the home of the Winter Olympic. Yeah. Yeah. And nuclear weapon and all of those things. But
yeah, don't mention that bit.
Yeah. And I came to Leiden. To study international children's rights. Actually, these are the children from Nepal, interesting enough. And so I came here to do my PhD. Yeah.
Great, thank you. And tell us a bit about what ICL has meant to you
yeah.
whilst being here.
Well, I came to ICL because I was looking for church, English-speaking church, and I went into website, and I came. And to me, you know, like being a PhD student or any student, you get very stressed before examination. And I have that. My supervisor meeting is like that every month. So always then I get very spiritual. And then I listen to very carefully about Andy's word. That's great. Then Helen would pray for me. And then we would pray for mercy and grace of the supervisors. So... they are like lifesavers, my secret weapon. So to me, so far, God has really touched supervisors' hearts, and so I'm moving forward.
I'm just blackmailing them in the background. You do know that, don't you?
Yeah, I have another one coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting enough that the. I've been here about 8 months, and then really I didn't know anybody. So what I really ended up doing is that first I got connected with Radiate, so Pauline and Jerome. And, of course, there actually I learned how to relate to people. you meet a student from, because I'm a student from really all over the world, and we cook every like different kinds of food, and that was very special. It was very, I feel like I'm out of my own environment, so I really learned how to really relate to people from other culture. That's interesting. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. And do you have some more slides?
Yeah,
to
actually,
share?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, and then life goes on. You know, after then I got, someone volunteered me as a true story. Paul, the gentleman who greeted me the first, he came to me. Oh, I received the email. So you are volunteering for the hospitality ministry. And I said, you know, I'm being polite, Asian. I just smiled. And apparently someone else sent a mail, and he thought it was me, so I just decided to live that person's life. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't tell him yet. But anyway, true story. So, but guess what? I learned to make a coffee for 96 people, and we really, that's my almost like dream come true, because you get to decide how strong coffee gonna be. So,
that's why nobody can sleep after being at church on a Sunday. It's like deadly wired. Yeah.
And then, best coffee, and then one cookie for one child. You know, unless you're getting for your friend, and some people have a lot of friends. Yep. And then, well, then, you know, my life became very adventurous. I thought, it's interesting, is I kind of experienced ICL ministry. So we went to volunteer in the Teen Challenge. So I didn't know what to expect. Next thing you know, I'm like cleaning the tree because there was a storm. And I saw a gentleman literally cutting off the fallen tree. So I watched it. I almost said I cut the fallen tree, but truly I didn't. Yeah, I just carried this some. So that was what I learned. So, and then after that, of course, you know, I got involved in Alpha. And there, I really, it's interesting, you know, that I told you about what I do. I do my research. PhD is like you're finding your own cave, and you're not supposed to get out of it until you come out with a big book. Mm. So Alpha is such a liberating experience for me, and I really loved Ditch's food. Very gentle but exciting. And and then also Heights humor. Mm-hmm. He's very humorous. So interesting enough that without knowing it, I thought I would just try to be a part of the ICL, but the journey has taken place. So you know, it's interesting that through Alpha you get to really ask questions. I have a colleague from Babylon, Hong Kong, China, and Netherlands, and we talk about many things, and we are very open, we are very honest to each other. And then, of course, the one thing I had to put this because it's Netherlands. You know, the highlight of my life is really now coming to church, and then today it rained, but actually rode in bike, and I didn't even think twice about it. But when I came here first, the biggest decision I ever had to make is that when it was raining, and should I bike or not? Then I thought about 1 hour, and then I went out. So today I feel like I'm really Dutch now.
Yeah, you really are. Yeah, and you can't leave.
And then it's interesting that, you know, you talk, last week we drew a picture as to where we want to go, and yes, without knowing it, of course I drew a moon and all that, but I was drawing my hometown, you know, with the mountain and family, and so yeah, I'm really longing for my family, but then without knowing it, then I realized that ICL became my family and my home, and so I'm going back, but but my home's here. As to the one next, I don't know. I think that you being here drinking a lot of coffee and you talking to me, I'm talking to you. But I thought I came to Lanta to help children.
Mm.
But I think that God kind of found me, my childhood back, to the point that now I think that the journey has begun through ICL and through Alpha and through you. I thought I was going back to Korea. Physically, I will be going back. But then what, to where, that I don't know. But I'm very grateful that I will be listening to God and follow His ways.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to praying for you before you leave, so that you have a sense of being sent from here, even though this is not your home country, it doesn't matter. We definitely feel that you've been part of ICL. And you always will be. You know, once you leave, guys, you're always part of ICL.
Yeah,
you never really leave.
Yeah, so. Like a Marine.
Yeah,
you know,
once exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jay.
Well,
thank you so much. Thank you.
Right. Well, we've got about 100 extra testimonies on the way. And I'm going to do them in hopefully under 5 minutes. Because of time's sake. We did an annual survey because it's good to get a feeling of who we are as ICL. We've asked you some questions and I'm going to try to show you some of those. I didn't do all of the questions because otherwise it takes us too much time. So, we've had ICL on average is about 150 to 200 people, adults, children, all together. But because we're fluid, you can never pinpoint us, and we don't have a formal leadership, membership structure. So, yep. No. If you think why is ICL messy, then just look at me, and you know the source of it. There were 16 questions. I picked out a few. We had 82 responses, so I think about half of the people responded. And if you count the children, we didn't send them all of an email. So we had quite a good response on all of the questions. And the ones I picked out are gender. About a bit over half of the people who responded are female. The other half, of course, male. No strange things there. Age profile. That's interesting. When we started out as a church, we had a bit of an image of being a student church. Well, if you look at the student age bracket, that's about 17%. Most of us are in our 30s. And exactly. And you can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. Yeah. and sort of our age bracket sort of ended here. We didn't have too many people over 50, but I'm very happy to say that we have some people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s now, and also a few people who were not brave enough to fill in their age. But that's.
Maybe they don't know.
You never know. So, okay, next one, nationality. I divided this by continent, and you see that by far the biggest continent is the Dutch continent. But seriously, there's actually quite a good spread over the other continents. If you look... forget about the Dutch. Let me see, North American, Asian, Europeans, and South and Middle American is sort of, they don't differ too much. I know we do have more than one African in our church, and I also am convinced that we have more than one person from Australia, New Zealand, Oceania, so it's quite a good spread. Yeah, exactly. It is. Yeah, some of the people haven't responded. So some of them are indeed in double nationality, and no. So anyway, this gives you a bit of a feeling that we are actually quite global as a church. Now, where do you live? Most people live in Leiden. This part is the villages directly next to Leiden. Then you have Katwijk, Noordwijk. This one is Bollestreek, Alphen aan de Rijn, Den Haag area. And a few people just said, we don't live in Leiden, which, yeah, okay. Or didn't reply, so, but that's okay. So it's mostly Leiden, but quite regional, if you look at this. How did you find ICL? Most of the people found ICL through friends or family or the internet. And then other points of entry were they were referred to us by another church. That's very friendly of other churches. Previous pastor, I guess that is Tim, the previous pastor. An advert, yes, we had an advert in this welcoming leaflet years ago, and well, we stopped that. But fortunately, you are still here in this church. Then. A former church member and a student fraternity. Ooh, that's exciting. What happens? Ah, right. Okay. I think there's more. Yeah, there is more. Where? Ah, right. Okay. So, church background, that was one of the ones that I really wanted to show. We are indeed a Pentecostal, a Protestant, a Catholic, what have you. Some people have an atheist background, but it's really spread all over all kinds of denominations. And that's one of the struggles that we have is, on one hand, we want to be welcome. On the other hand, we want to be clear as well. And sometimes you get these churches that where anything goes. Well, and everyone's welcome, but not anything goes. And that's things we talk about. And the last two statistics I wanted to show was, let me see, it's do you serve in ICL? And more than half of the respondents also serve in ICL, so thank you very much. And the ones who don't, feel free to do so, but if you're in a time that you really can't, that's really fine. And then the last statistic is, are you in a life group or not? And just under half of you are in a life group, connect group. We used to have statistics a few years ago where about 80% of the people were in a life group. So there are life groups out there. Maybe we should start a few new ones and connect a little bit more. So This all condenses into the average ICLer, which is a Dutch female in her 30s, has a Pentecostal background, lives in Leiden, found ICL through the internet, is not part of a Connect group, but serves in ICL. Anyone fit that profile? Hey, woohoo! We're not looking for you. We all want to be like Jesus, so hey, forget it. Everyone is unique, no. And this is the 82, how do you say that, testimonies that I've condensed in this one graph. There were a lot of comments of how did you come to ICL, and many of them said some very nice things about Andy and Helen, which makes me also very happy. And other words like were church community, because it's English, it's family, it feels good, we're international. Thank you very much. They were all very warm and welcoming comments. So if you filled in the questionnaire, thank you very much for that. I hope this helps you a little bit understanding who we are when we come together here. And one of the good things, I think, is because we know we are all so different, our initial and first thing is that we understand it if someone responds a little bit differently than we would expect ourselves, and that makes us all very welcome towards each other. So thank you for filling out, and I hand over to Andy and shut up quickly.
Thanks, Ernst. Thanks for shutting up. Very good. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm actually going to give the talk on Genesis 12 another week. And I'm going to read the passage in a moment's time. But I do want to make some remarks today, but I want to make sure we have space for the treasurer's report, because I know Inga doesn't want to miss doing that. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. And also, we're going to have some space that you pray for us, because that's really important that we pray together as a community. But celebrate Sunday. I just want to make a few remarks, okay, so on the past year, because there's an opportunity to look back over a year, as well as looking forward. And I'll just sort of kind of jump through the slides and sort of do a slightly different from what I was going to say. As the survey just showed that Yosh referred to, we have this incredible diversity amongst us as a congregation, but we unite together around Christ. And in a way, I think even the four testimonies today, in a sense, were a sermon enough in themselves of the work of the grace, the truth of Christ at work amongst us as a community. And I'm very grateful for that. And I echo Helen's words that, you know, ICL is deep within our hearts. As many of you know, we're going to be going on a sabbatical from mid-April through to mid-August. And there's part of us that's looking forward to it. And part of it just feels really weird that we're going to be stepping out of church life. Please don't ignore us if you see us around town. We won't ignore you. And let's have talk about the weather and things like that. You know, no, but seriously, you deep in our hearts, and I don't say that just to sound nice and sentimental or anything like that. We've been here 12 years. We've picked up a bit of the direct hide, so we don't say sentimental things for the sake of it. But really very grateful for what the Lord is doing amongst us as a community. Grateful in the past year for the gatherings that we've had, people who've grown in their faith in the Lord, the baptisms that have taken place. Really grateful for the new partnership that's going on between our student group Radiate and with Contrast, IFES, Netherlands. Just great to see that, more students being interacted with. And we love partnership, and it's great that that is happening. Great seeing Fundar carrying on, Henk and Inika and the rest of the team. You know, with Mike and Anita going back to the States, and we spoke to them yesterday. We were Skyping with them yesterday. They say hi. You know, it's just great to see what the Lord's continuing to do in touching kids and their families in the Miravike area of the city. And I'm so glad that that's carried on. And thankful for the team. Grateful for Alpha beginning. And Jay's already made reference to that. But Hitze and Deitcha opening up their home. And Deitcha's done a fantastic job in getting us all organized with Alpha. And it's been great to see. And very, very grateful for that. Really grateful for the church council beginning. And we've talked about the church council in the previous week. One or two can't be here today, but I'm going to get those who are here up in a few minutes' time after Inga has spoken and to ask you to pray for us. And also many people who are new to leadership. And because I'm ignoring my notes, the slides, I need to just find my notes prompting to remind me on that. So all kinds of people, and apologies if I miss anybody. It's not because I don't value you or important, it's just because of time. Inga stepped into the role as the treasurer and taking over from Cor, who did a great job, and Inga's doing a great job with it, and we're really grateful. Sherry Lee has taken over with office management. She and Jeff aren't here today. They're up in Groningen today because their daughter is in the quarterfinals of the National Gymnastics Championship. So fantastic. And I'm really glad that they go to that. They didn't go, oh, no, we've got to be in church. It would have been, go support your daughter. That's really important. And I hope that goes well. Paul, as I said, it was his mum's funeral yesterday. And they're resting today. We're very grateful. Paul's taken on leading the church management team. He took over from Henk, who was doing a great job with it. I'm very grateful for that. Yetsa, hope he has not been whacked with the flu, but he's not feeling that well today, so he isn't here. But as well as carrying on doing second breakfast, which he was already doing, he's taken on the oversight role of our children's and youth leaders. I'm very grateful for that. Mariana has stepped up to take on Cool Kids. Annika is overseeing the nursery. Really grateful for that. Christine, who's led the team this morning, has joined Peter and Christina in leading the music team. We went to Dincha with Alpha. Alberto and Carolina have taken on hospitality, which we're grateful for, and we'll be enjoying the gratitude of that in a few minutes' time with today's latest coffee. I don't know if Jay has interfered with the coffee or not and how strong it will be. But we shall see. And of course, I've mentioned the Fundag team. So it's people who are leading, but it's also people who are serving. Thank you to everybody who has served and has got involved with serving in this past year. and those who were serving before, just as thankful for everyone who was leading before last year's Celebrate service. It's not that you're not important. I just wanted to mention people who are new. But examples are of people just serving in different ways. Lydia has taken on a lot of the admin work behind the scenes, and we're really grateful for everything that she's been doing. Hank Jan sorting out the sound system for us. You know, we're really grateful for that. And all the hard work that's gone on, and Ben along with that, making all of the special boxes and stuff so it can all be packed away and so on. A lot of hours of work went in behind the scenes for that. Really grateful for Jessica, who's presently working along with one or two others on our new website and getting that sorted out. Again, it's not really seen. It's not really seen up front necessarily, but all of that that's going on behind the scenes. And she's seen all of you in different ways serving, you know, just example, embarrassing, but Case, for example, went this past couple of days to with Valera to Nijmegen to just help bring a whole load of books that have been donated to the university in St. Petersburg. And he just took the time, the effort to get a van and so on to do that. It's just great to see that kind of serving going on, and very, very grateful. Of course, in the past year, you know, that there would have been moments for celebration, different people's lives, and also times which are tougher as well. Within our community, at least 5 children have been born, and if I've forgotten any, then you just hit me afterwards. But Blossom's been born, Deborah, Benjamin, Luciana, and Emmett have all been born since our last Celebrate service. There's also been a couple of weddings within our community as well, connected with our community. Inger and Hubert got married, and Martin and Chandler got married as well, and they're all still smiling. So I'm pleased about that. So that's good. So, you know, moments to celebrate. Scripture says we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn. And, of course, there'll be moments of sadness as well. I've just mentioned, obviously, some of us yesterday with Paul and Lai Ying and Leia and the family because of Paul's mum passing away. The week before, Cor was taking the funeral for his grandmother. You know, these are realities in our lives. And for them, was a close at home, you know, and our hearts have been particularly with Hank and Inika and the children. Around a couple of weeks' time, a year ago, if that makes sense, Amanda being born and then passing away. And it's been a tough time, but we wanted to acknowledge that. And even as a couple, you know, we're saying that we acknowledge that. And it's important that we do things like that, you know, that yes, we're a community, it's real, that we're family, and that we support one another. And so, what I'll do right, let's pray. Let's just pray. Yeah? Father, I thank you that we gather together today. I thank you for your grace. I thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And thank you, you've called us together from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of nations. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies that have been given today. Lord, thank you for the work you're doing in our lives together. Thank you for all the causes we've had for celebration in the past year. But also, Lord, that you've been there amidst our questions and the tough times. And Lord, I pray for any of us who feel that we're walking in a tough place at the moment, maybe it seems dark, that there would be that sense that you are our shepherd, and that you walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, I want to thank you for Hank and Inika and the family. I pray your blessing upon them this day. You continue to walk with them and be with them just in this month, Lord God. And Lord, you know, God, there's things that happen and we don't always understand, but Lord, you know. And so, Lord, I want to commit ourselves into your hands for this coming year also. Lord, that whatever happens, a bit like that song we sang earlier, that we will trust in you. And Lord, help us when we find it hard. Help us when it feels almost impossible. And Lord, that we can have a sensitivity to one another and maybe a sensitivity to your spirit so that we might even have us a sense that someone else is struggling and be able to walk alongside. Lord, that we be a community where no one feels they have to be on their own. Whether that's those who are already connected or others that we're reaching out to. But people can experience the love, the grace, the truth, the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you. And we commit ourselves into your hands, Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask Inga to come up. And I said I'd read Genesis 12. I'm going to read you this passage. And I'm going to do an amazing thing for a preacher. I'm then not going to say anything about it. Haha, I bet I will. Right. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Seems very fitting for an international church. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued through the Negev. We will come back to that passage after Easter. And I will make some more remarks about kind of where we're going as a community as well. But I'm aware it's 12:27. And I want to let the treasurer come up. So we're going to give her a big round of applause. So, yes. But, thank you, Inga.
So I guess I have like 1 minute, which is good. I have made some PowerPoint slides, but I will keep it a bit short. And I made some graphs in them because it's business. So we just looked back on some of the highlights of 2017. And some of the highlights financially in 2017 have been that we have been able to keep on supporting Vandaag, that it has been able to continue even after Mike and Anita have left. Also that we have been able to continue to do our work for the missions, and very importantly to have this new sound system that makes me to be heard quite clearly now, I think. And a highlight for Cor, of course, was that we had a change in treasurership. I think next year I'll reflect on whether it was a highlight for me, but I think... But 2017 also posed some challenges. Last year we already presented that our income, so the giving from the congregation, has gone down. And unfortunately, even in 2017, that was the case. So I've made a graph for you guys, which we can no longer see. So it was that bad. So basically, our giving has gone down again. This year, and that's nothing to worry about immediately, because we have been doing really well in the years before. But everything we do depends on what people give. So as you can see, the orange line, is what we have been receiving, what you have been giving in the last 7 years. And you see the line below is what we have been spending. So you see, the first years since 2011, we have been receiving much more than we have been spending. So the fact that we are now receiving less and spending a bit more than we receive is not really an immediate problem, but it might pose a problem in the future. So I wanted to show you a bit about what we spend some of our money on. So this is... what we spend money on in 2017. And you will see that about 62% of what we spend in 2017 is on salary and on staff. And about 10% we give to our missions. And about 15% is for the rent, so the rent of this building. And you see that in the other parts it's some operational costs, so that is hospitality, insurances, subscriptions, those kind of things. But the major problem that could happen in the future is that we need to have a new building. So in the future, for 2018, we want to continue our giving, so with at least 10%. And we want to continue all of our missions, including Vandaag, which is possible, that we don't have to worry about it. But we also need a new building, and I think that that is the thing that we need prayer about most. Because finding a new building, we are actually staying quite cheaply here in this building. If we want a new building, it's probably going to cost us a bit more. And as you can see in the previous graph, there's not much room, not much space to change the budget in. So in order for us to be able to get a new building in the future, probably we definitely need prayers. And we hope that our giving can also increase. So we also ask you to also include that in our prayers. So, yeah. I think that is it. I also didn't get any questions, so I decided to not really go into all of the numbers and figures, but if you have any questions about that, they are in the report, so you can always send me an email about it. Thank you.
Yeah, Inge mentioned about the building. It's one of the things I'll talk about after Easter, but I'm just going to keep sowing the thought out to us even now to be looking. You say, well, what do we need? Well, think this school. Well, and actually don't think this school because this needs sorting out, this school. But, but basically think what the facilities we have in this school, but level access or a lift. Okay, that's basically what we need to find. Yeah. So the facilities we presently have, the storage, classroom space, kitchen, we need loos, some parking, some outside space would be nice for me, have bouncy castles and so on. That type of thing, but level access. That's what we're looking for. And in Leiden, preferably. We can be the International Church of Leiden, sort of in Groningen, but our daughter would love it because she's at university there. But yeah, I might be pushing it. I suppose it begins with an L. We can at least keep it ICL, International Church of London, Liechtenstein. So, I don't know. Yeah. Losgeist, Lorskoten. I mean, we can just cheat, can't we? I mean, let's just see what's, but maybe be looking at. And it would also, if possible, have somewhere in the week as well. Not necessarily the whole big building, but just the things we could use for students, for youth. Christina could have pastoral care appointments there, office space. Paulina's got somewhere to work from and so on. And that would be an added bonus. But, of course, we need to sort Sundays out. It's basically summer 2019. We've got to be out of here. But every time we're here, we don't have level access. So the level access thing is something to think. I'm going to ask, if you're on the church council and you're here, if you're not, you won't be hearing this, so that's a silly statement, can you just come to the front? Because we just want to ask some people to pray for us as we close. We'd say the church council, made up of people that I've mentioned in different areas of church ministry, practical and pastoral ministry in the church, to help us as an eldership team in leading the church. And we're very grateful for the roles. And mentioned, of course, Paul isn't here today, Yetzo isn't here, and Sherry Lee isn't here, but the others are. So Christina representing pastoral care, particularly the one-to-one conversations that go on. It's a real support for us as an eldership team and all that she's doing. Inge with the treasury work, and thank you for the report you put together and sent out. Paulina in heading up our student ministry. And just want to affirm we continue, because it is a business meeting, we continue to employ Paulina 2 days a week. And so as a staff pastor, and we're very grateful for all that she does. And for Peter in heading up the music team leaders and the music team, we're very, very grateful. And we'd like one or two of you to pray for us. I also just want to take this opportunity, which I would have done even more so if Yetsu had been here today, is to reaffirm our commitment to child protection as a church. And that's a really important thing, that all of our kids and youth workers are checked as best as we can, and fresh training will be put in place. And if anyone as a church community has a concern about a family or anything, I don't mean gossip or anything like that, but maybe genuine concern, Yetsa is our contact point for connecting with people like Yuxorg and social services and so on. And kind of assisting him in that role is Helen at the present time, but obviously we will get someone else in place for the time that Helen and I are on sabbatical. But it's just important to affirm that our kids and our young people are really important. And that'd be one of the things I would have talked about a bit more today, and I will on another occasion. And in fact, someone might just want to subtly pop out and let the kids and young people come back in. I'm just aware, because then the kids' groups are going up the wall. We're at 25 to 1. So if maybe someone could just pop along and let them know they can send everyone back. But I'm going to ask, is someone up for just coming and praying for us? Because we need your prayers. So, okay, just come on up. Or a couple of you. Inika, Vam, thank you. That'd be great. So, and maybe some people want to come and stand with us. We stand with other people, and so that would be great. So, thank you.
No, church.
Oh, church.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for everything you do. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for what you are doing in their lives. And we pray for them. Lord, will you instill faith in them and love and give them perspective, give them rest and peace, that they can do everything just in trust that you will lead them and that you will provide the things they need. Lord, I want to bless them in the name of Jesus. And I want to pray that you will prepare the way for them as they lead us. And Lord, we want to thank you for everything you do. And also pray for this coming year that your will be done. Lord, that your name will be glorified through all of us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus, that we have learned and we know that all true churches are yours. It is your body on the earth, and you're the head of the church. And I thank you for that, because that is our security and our guarantee that you are the shepherd, the great shepherd over your church. And I thank you that you always provide other shepherds under you, under shepherds, and also in this church there is a large group of people who want to shepherd over the flock, and I thank you that you are shepherding over them, the great shepherd, and you always guarantee that your church will remain. It cannot be overcome by anything, because you are the head of the church, it's your church. And I want to bless my brothers and sisters who are voluntarily giving their time and their life and their efforts to serve all of us. And I want to bless them in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Hey, everyone, take your seats. Thank you very much. We're going to draw to close. I just need to grab my Bible. Let's finish with some words of blessing. I hereby officially close our business meeting. It's been different, hasn't it? So, some words that I actually used at the night of worship and prayer last week, but I think good for us also today as we close and we go into coffee time. If you'd like someone to pray with you, the members of the prayer team around, or just pray for one another, take that opportunity. Don't feel you have to rush off today. But some words from the end of 1 Thessalonians as we go into a new week together. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Have a good week.